In the beginning of Parsha Shlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages Moshe Rabbeinu to send Meraglim. Then it turned out to be a disaster. So, what went wrong over here? What was the whole idea of sending Meraglim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that it's a wonderful land. Eretz Yisrael is wonderful and marvelous. So why did they have to send Meraglim? So the Jewish agency used to distribute an essay, a drasha, that they wrote over in English that was delivered by Rav Soloveitchik, a drasha on this issue that we find in the opening pasuk in Echa. Echa yosh v'bodon ho'ir rabos hayam. Which is the city? It's Yerushalayim is the city. Ho'isa ki almano. So Rashi says on Echa, not really an almana. La almana mamish al kiisha shalach baile lemdina sayam, but daita lach sorella like an aguna. Yerushalayim is like an aguna. She's waiting for the Jewish people to come back. It's as if there's a relationship, a marriage between the Jewish people and Yerushalayim. Then this was written by Yirmiyah. Rashi writes Yirmiyah kasev sefer kines. Yirmiyah wrote Echa in sefer Yirmiyah. Also, I'm pretty sure that there's a parsha where it describes not only the relationship of the Jewish people with Yerushalayim as one of the marriage, relationship of the Jewish people with Eretz Yisrael. In Shir HaShirim and in Tanakh in different places, the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael is described as one of a marriage. The Chosen is the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Kala is the Jewish people. But here, it's a relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The Chosen is Bnei Yisrael and the Kala is Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there is a din in the Gemara, also Lodim Sheikarish HaSuisha Ad Sheiren HaTchilo. You're not allowed to marry a girl unless you first see the girl and you're happy. Why? Shem Yimtza Badova Meguna, and he won't be happily married. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted the Jewish people to get married, to make a relationship with Eretz Yisrael like one of a marriage. And even when we'll be away from Eretz Yisrael, it won't be a divorce. It'll be like an aguna ki almana, lad almana mamish. So the din is also the kaddish of sirisha achiven atchilo. So he wanted to send not meraglim l'asura sa'aretz to see whether we should go conquer the land, how we should go conquer the land. No, you should see how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is, that we should be able to develop such a relationship. But the Meraglim went with a different intention, not to fall in love with Eretz Yisrael, but rather to see whether we should like Eretz Yisrael. Now they came back with a negative report. We'll never succeed in conquering the land. Efes kiaz ha'om ha'yoshev aleho. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, kol dvar sheker, she'em b'tchilos ha'dvar emes, is not going to have any kiyum. If I tell you a big lie, from the beginning to the end, everything is a lie, so you're going to see through the whole thing. If I tell you a lie, but I begin with telling you something that's true, that you know is true, so that you accept the beginning, so then there's a better chance that you'll accept the end of what I say. So they wanted to give a negative report. They want the punchline of what the Meraglim said. Efes kiasom, we don't stand a chance of winning a battle against them. So that's why they first started saying what a wonderful land it is. It's wonderful land. Everything is beautiful. That was the Dvaremes. And then Ephes, however, we don't stand a chance to win the war. So that was the sheker that they said. What motivated them to say this Dvar sheker? So that's a famous comment that they quote from the Zohar. Zohar says that they realize that they're only the Nisiyim. They're the Manhigim of the Klal Yisrael and the Midbar when everything is Lemaila Menateva. As soon as the Jews will move into Eretz Yisrael, there's not going to be Mon Men HaShemayim, there's not going to be Slob, it's going to be B'derech HaTeva. It's going to be Ishtachas Gapna Matachas Teinosa. They're going to have to work the land, work for a living. They won't be learning all day. The Gemara has an expression, Nanditna HaTorah Ela Loech LeHamon. If you have Mon falling down from heaven, you don't have to work for a living. Then that's Koilot. So in the Midbar, everybody was leading a Koilot life. Everything. They didn't have to work for a living. When they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to appoint different manhigim, different nisim for the... You need different nisim. It's going to be a different kind of hanhoga. So they saw they're going to lose their position of leadership. So that's why they didn't want. They wanted to stay in the Midbar, so they still remain Manhigim. That's not right. That's the Gemara talks about the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga and the Agadata. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that speaks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds 3 tears every day. So 2 of the tears he sheds are the misplaced people. People who belonged in the field of learning that went into a secular field. People who belonged in a secular field that went into the field of learning. There are a lot of rabbanim and shuls. There are a lot of rabbis and yeshivas who didn't belong in the rabbinate in the first place. They know how to learn. They're religious, fine, but they don't have the patience to be a rabbi. They don't have... you need a personality to be a rabbi in a shul, in a community, or to be a rabbi in a yeshiva. So that's a disaster. So those are the 2 of the 3 tiers. And the 3rd tier is regarding the parnas hamizgoa al tzibur, a person who's appointed to a position of leadership because he can do a lot for the tzibur, and then instead of using his position of leadership to lead the people, he uses it l'toivas atzmai. He balabatavis over the people. Parnas hamizgoa al tzibur. So that's what the Meraglim did. They, according to that explanation given by the Zohar, they wanted to remain in position of leadership. So that's why they tried to discourage everyone from going to Eretz Yisrael. So that was a terrible tragedy. What motivated Moshe Rabbeinu to change Yeshua ben Nun's name? Vayikra Moshe lo Hashem ben Nun Yehoshia. So the Gemara says he offered a tefillah. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Soita. He offered a prayer called Yoshiacha Mi'atzas HaMeraglim. Why did he only pray for Yeshua ben Nun? Why did he think Yeshua needs the tefillah? So there's a famous comment that appears in the Targum that's called the Targum Yonis ben Uzziel. All the Mefarshim say it's not by Yonis ben Uzziel. The Gemara says he only wrote a targum on the Nevi'im. He wanted to write Aksuvim, but they didn't let him in Hashemayim, and Achumish he never wrote. It's really another version of the Targum Yerushalmi. It should really be Tough Yud, it's Targum Yerushalmi. It's not Targum Yonasan, but whatever, it's an old Targum. There are a lot of fluky things in the Targum Yonasan and Ezeel, so some claim that it was written by Apikursim, by the Tzedukim. So then you can ignore everything that it says there. Others wrote a lot of svarim were written in order to explain away all of the problematic lines in the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. A lot of times he says things against Mishnayos. So they say Yonasan ben Uzziel was a Tana. So they say the one who wrote it was a Tana. Even if it wasn't Yonasan ben Uzziel, it was a Tana. And he disagrees with this din, he disagrees with that Mishnah. Could be. Okay. Anyway, so on this pasuk, yeah, the famous line, Kad Choma, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Amasanusi de Yeshua, you saw how humble Yeshua ben Nun was. That's why he felt obligated to offer a tefillah, Kol Yoshiacha Mi'atzas Meraglim, that he knew that he was humble, and if the others will say one way, he'll probably give in to them. So he didn't want him, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want him to give in, and he was afraid he wasn't strong enough to fight against them because of his humility. That's why he davened. I mean, I remember one of the boys from the yeshiva had his oifruf on Shabbos Parsha Shlach. So I went with my wife to the oifruf. It wasn't here in the yeshiva. It was on the outskirts of New York. And then he asked me to say a drasha by Shalvah Shudas. I said over this comment. And then the husband got divorced from his wife because the wife was a meshugana. So afterwards he realized that that's why I said that drasha. He was too humble. He always kept on giving in to his wife. He shouldn't have given in to his wife. In the Chumash, it doesn't say explicitly, but in Tehillim, as well as in Sefer Yecheskel, it says explicitly that right on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to punish them, Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana, they're going to be roaming around in the Midbar for 40 years because the Meraglim on Eretz Yisrael for 40 days. But also, it was told to them at that time, what Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shalchinam, you were crying for nothing, aniyakva lechem b'chiyah l'doros, that Tisha B'Av is going to be a tragic day, that the base, when you go to Eretz Yisrael and you build the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will not be lasting. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bis HaMikdash, he already knew that it's going to be Chorev. So in the Chumash, it's not that explicit, and Netziv interprets where it says it in the Chumash. Imaleh Chayonav, Imaleh Kvod Hashem Eskol Ha'aretz, and Netziv interprets that that's what it means. I will send you into Golos, and Kvod Hashem will be all over the world, not just in Eretz Yisrael. That's his interpretation. He has a lot of original interpretations. I remember when I was in high school, the Rebbe, all the Rabbein were European, most of the Rabbein were Europeans. So one of them who learned by Rav Elvela, and he learned at Miri Yeshiva, so he said that the Chofetz Chaim was not so thrilled about the Netziv's commentary on Chumash, that he darshins psukim like a Tana. A lot of times he comes up a new dinim based on his interpretation. This one is also quite an interpretation. Chayon v'imoli kvod Hashem eskol ha'aretz means they're going to go into Golos, but whether that's pshat or not, but it says it in Yecheskel and it says in Tilim. On the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, HaKadosh Baruch already told them, when they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, the Bayis Rishon will be Chorev, and they will all go into Golos. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was going to be Chorev. And he said, Baruch HaKadosh, this we mention every so often, he said, Baruch HaKadosh, the Psukim and Shir HaShirim, regarding the Bayis Sheni, whether the Bayis Sheni that will be built after the 7 years of Golos Gadol, will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash, or will that also be Chorev? So he said, Baruch HaKadosh, Imchaymo, He Nivna, Lehotiras Kesef, Imdelesi, Notso, Alel, Luachore. So the Gemara says, not Lefi Pshutu Shal Mikra, in addition to the Pshutu Shal Mikra, the Gemara says, an additional level of interpretation. Imchaymo, Him Yalu, Kachaymo. If at the end of the 70 years, everybody will move back to Eretz Yisrael, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be Ibn Lehotiras Kesef. The second Beis HaMikdash will be like a metal structure, and metal doesn't rot away. So it doesn't rot away in, with two sense, two meanings. The Gemara, number one, the Beis HaMikdash will not rot away, it won't be Chorev, it'll be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. And number two, the Jewish Rekev will not be Sholet, rot will not affect the Jewish people. The Jewish people will do Averis, HaKadosh Baruch will continue to send Nevi'im to give us Tochacha, and there's a chance that we'll listen to the Musar, and we'll do Tshuva. But in Delasi, if it'll be a Shvach Aliyah, not so Allah Luachoris, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut, and wooden buildings rot away. It rains, it snows, and they rot. So Rekib Sholot Bo. So Rekib Sholot Bo means that, number one, two meanings. Number one, second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, it won't be everlasting. And secondly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not send any Monavim. So that's Lamaisa what happened. There were tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Jews lived in Bavel at the end of the 7 years of Golos Bavel, and hardly anybody came back. Way less than 50%, way less. The Psukim say that there was hardly anybody came back. They enjoyed it in Bavel. They didn't want to go back. The ones who went back, the Gemara says in the last Perek in Kiddushin, Asor Yuchsan Olam Bavel. Who went back from Bavel? The Mamzerim, the Halolim, the Nesinim, the Gerim, all the people with the weak yichas, the Miyuchasim, the real religious Jews had a real good yichas. They stayed in Bavel, and they wouldn't marry those. They wouldn't marry those who had moved back to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that Rav went from Bavel to learn in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had a daughter, so he wanted Rav to meet his daughter. Rav didn't want to, because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was a descendant of those who came back, and they had a weaker yichas. And Rav was from Bavel. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, my Torah is kosher, my daughter is not kosher. So he didn't answer him. That was the answer, yes, that the Jews in Bavel wouldn't marry the Jews, even Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's daughter, they wouldn't marry the Jews in Eretz Yisrael because they had a weaker yichas. So that's what the Ravid writes, the famous Ravid writes on the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Beis HaBchira that the Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitchel Osilavim. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha was everlasting. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was based on Kibush. Yeshua Ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, took 7 years to conquer the land, Shebisha Kopshu. And then Shebish Achilko, the Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. Since the Ramamite, since the Kedusha Sa'aretz rested on the Kibush, so when the Kibush was undone, when the Babylonian armies conquered all of Eretz Yisrael and took away from the Jewish government, So that was the end of the Kedusha. The Kedusha vanished into thin air. But the Kedusha Shnia was not based on Kibush at all. It was based on something else. So since it wasn't based on Kibush, it wasn't undone at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, when the Romans took away the land from the Jewish people. Because until the days of the Hashmonaim, which is only the last 204 years of the Bayis Sheni period, that's what the Gemara says, till the days of the Hashmonaim, there was no independent Jewish government in Eretz. They were under Tachas Shlita Sagoyim, under the Malchit Paras and Madai. So there was no Kibush at all. So the Kedusha Sarets the second time around was not based on Kibush. So since it wasn't based on Kibush, so that's why it didn't disappear. It didn't vanish into thin air when the Romans undid the Kibush, when the Romans took away Eretz from the Jews. Because the Kedusha was Chal in the first few centuries, where there was no Kibush at all. So the Rambam says the Kedushas HaMikdash was based on Hashvas HaShchina, and the Shchina was Lo B'Teilos, so even through the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Makam HaMikdash retained its Kedusha. That's the Rambam Shita. And the Raibid disagrees. The Raibid and the Ramban disagree, and they hold that the Makam HaMikdash doesn't have Kedusha Bizman HaZeh. So the Raibid writes, Raibid is assuming a double pashut that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew already from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim that it's going to be Chorev. So when he built the Beis HaMikdash, it was only Mekadosh et Lizman for the time that will last. So then he continues to say, Yadei Oya Ezra. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he already knew from the Ruach HaKodesh that Shlomo HaMelech said, if the law returned back, if all the Jews were returned back to Eretz Yisrael after the 7 years of Golas Babel, then Ein Horekim Sholed Bo will be like a metal structure. But it wasn't the case. Hardly anybody came back. A very small percentage. 40,000 would change. There were way, way more than 40,000 Jews living in Babel. So the Raibid writes here, so when he built the second Beis HaMikdash, it was only Mekadosh et Lizman. So the same as the Shlomo HaMelech. When he built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew already from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim it's going to be Chorim. So that's the whole, it's a questionable Raibid, you can do such a thing. The Gemara in the Dorm talks, a person is Magdash HaKam HaReza Oilo Shloshim Yom. A Magdash something as a Korban Ola only for 30 days. So if I makrev in the middle of 30 days, is good. And if I wait till day 31, the Kedusha vanishes into thin air. The Gemara said, there is no such thing. Kedusha lo paka bichdi. Kedusha can't just vanish into thin air. You have to be paid it. You have to transfer it onto something else. How can the Raibid say that Yadei Ahai Ezra, he's assuming Yadei Ahai Yishloima. Shlomo HaMelech knew when he built the first place on Mikdash, it's not going to last forever. So it was only Mekadosh et Lizman, Yadei Oya Ezra, Shah Sarad Lehichariv, it was only Mekadosh et Lizman. Is there such a thing to be Mekadosh et Lizman? So that's problematic with the Raibid. That's what the Raibid says. The Ramban on Shavuos, Masechah Shavuos, holds like the Raibid, Alocha Lemaisa, the Kedusha Shnira, that the Kedusha Samigdosh was Batla, in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and after Bayis Sheni, Bizchar is also Batla. But not for the reason that the Raibid gave. There is no such thing. He can endow a Makam with Kedusha only Lizman, Kedusha lo paka b'chdi. He writes a different reason. The Gemara says in Idorim that at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, there were tons of coins, there were millions of dollars, and the Oitzer of the Beis HaMikdash that the Roman soldiers took and used it for their own purposes. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim were considering telling all the Jews at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni that not to use any of the Roman coins because they may be using money that belonged to Hegdash, and the Kedusha's Hegdash, there's a Nisa Me'ilah. And then they realized that it's not so because the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Ubo Bapritza Mechilalu, when the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash, and they defiled the Beis HaMikdash, everything was Yotze L'chulim. So the money was Yotze L'chulim. And the Gemara says the same thing. When the Hashmonaim came, the Beis HaMikdash was being used for Avodah Zarah purposes. And the Hashmonaim came and they were kicking out all the Jews, the Misyavnim, not the Yavonim, the Misyavnim, the Jewish Apikursim who were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says they had to make a new menorah, they had to make a new Mizbeach. The old Mizbeach was Pasul, because it was used for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean? You come into my house and you bow down to the furniture, so the furniture becomes also manor. If you pour in chazer into my soup, or you pour in milk into the flesh, you don't need dasa adam. If the chazer falls in by itself, it becomes straight. But avodah zara depends on the kavana of adam. Your kavana can't relate to my property. So the Gemara says, the Yevonim or the Misyavdim, that's a question who, either the non-Jewish priestim or the Jewish priestim, that's a machlokes the Balamor and the Ramban, in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Bo b'priestim mechilalu. When the priestim came in and they used the mizbeach for Avodah Zarah purposes, it was Yotze L'chulin. Once it's Yotze L'chulin, it no longer belongs to the Jewish people. So the Mele, there's no problem vein on Masadah. So that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban agrees with the Rabbi and Halacha L'maisa. After the Churban Abayis, the Kedusha was Batla, but not because Yedayo Haya Ezra and he was only Mekadosh at the Zman. There is no such thing. He says, Boba Pritzim Chilalu applies not only on the Klei HaMikdash, not only on the Kesh, on the Mammon, it applies to the latitude and longitude. That location on the globe that was Niskadosh, Mekdushas HaZor, Mekdushas HaRabayis, and so on, and Mekdushas Kodesh HaKadoshim, that latitude and longitude, that location was Yotze L'chulin. It's a Chiddush. One can think that maybe only Boba Pritz Mechilalu applies to the Mizbeah, to the Meroira, to the money, to objects. Maybe it doesn't apply to a location on the globe. And that's what the Ramban says. So that's a Shaila, whether there's still Kedushas HaMikdosh today. It's a Machloikes HaRishonim. Then when the people were told, they're all going to die 40 years, they're going to remain in the Midbar. So they said, oi, terrible, we did wrong, we want to do tshuva. And the pasuk says, they felt terrible, they're going to be punished by Ashkima Babaka. And the next morning, we sinned, we want to do tshuva. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, your tshuva will not be accepted. So the Mephoshim discuss, why was the tshuva not accepted? Why was the tshuva not? And they were all wiped out. They were all killed by the enemy. Why was the tshuva not accepted? So there's a famous comment, I think they attributed to the Baal Shem Tov. He gave a mashal. The two people used to be very friendly, and then somehow they got into an argument, and they didn't talk to each other. They hated each other. So someone wanted to make peace between the two of them. So he went to each one, and he told them, your friend really realizes that he's at fault for ruining your relationship, your friendly relationship, but he's embarrassed to ask you mechila. So make up with him. You make believe that you bothered him. You apologize to him. He told each one like that. Each one should apologize and they'll get together. So one of them decided to listen to him. So he said, Yankel told me that I did you an avla, so I ask you for your forgiveness. So the other one said, what do you mean Yankel told you? You don't realize on your own that you did me an avla. And he started screaming. He was just as angry as he was before. That's not tshuva. He says, when they did tshuva, this is, they say, for the Baal Shem Tov. So the Pasha Pshat, we want to go to Eretz Yisrael that Hashem told us to go there. So the Baal Shem Tov suggested, maybe you should read it differently. We want to go al hamakom asher Hashem kichatanu. The Rebbeinu Shlom told us that we sinned, so lefishi taschem, that you hold that we sinned, so we ask you forgiveness. What do you mean lefishi taschem? You don't realize on your own that you did sin. In order to do tshuva, the first step is you have to realize, you have to have hakoras achet. That's not so easy. Not so easy. People usually if a lot of people are involved in an incident, see, each one would tell over the story differently, he'll come out to be the hero of the story. Everyone has a different version of what happened, and each one is going to say a version that he did the right thing and someone else did wrong. So that's not called tshuva. Tshuva, you have to have hakora sachet. When the Kangorl says vidui, so the Gemara learns out from psukim that he has to say ona. You have to say please. So the Gemara says, what's the nusach? We have it in the nusach of the Seder Avodah and Yom Kippur. Kangorl says ona Hashem. He says vidui three times. The first says ona Hashem chatosi avisi pashaiti. Ona Hashem kapana lachatoyim v'labenes l'abshem shel chatosi v'shavisi. So we understand on Hashem kapa no lachatoim. Ona means please forgive all the averes that we did. What's on Hashem chatos evisa? Please, I said. What are you saying? Please, you didn't ask anything. What does it mean? On Hashem chatos evisa pashaiti. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give a drasha every year on Aseres Tshuva. At that time, he was the only one in New York. None of the other rabbanim did it. In Europe, that was a very common practice. All the rabbanim used to give drashas. And Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Now the Behuda has from the 1700s and for a generation. They always gave drushes. So I don't know why in New York they didn't have it. And Rav Soloveitchik used to have every year. Many people came. Then after he was already old and he discontinued, every other rabbi started giving drushes and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's what it always used to be. So this is one of the recurrent themes that he would mention, that the Darshanim in Europe used to say, You have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ona Hashem, please give me the ability to admit that I did wrong. Ona Hashem, please give me the koach to say chatasi avisi pashayti. Because usually, Eidon Amarei Chayvili Atzmi, usually people will not admit that they did something wrong. And even if they will admit, they won't mean it. You have to be honest about it. You have to have hakora sachet. And even in Avera that we said vidui on one year, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, you have to say vidui the next year, because if we became a better person in the course of the year, so probably the Hakara Sachet will be more significant at the end of the year. You realize how your insignificance and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the course of the year, so you realize what a chutzpah was for you to do the Averit. It's a bigger Hakara Sachet. Whenever there's Hakara Sachet, then there's a Chiyuv Tshuva. In Parshas Vayikra, it says that one is nefesh kisechta. If a person did an avera, how does it say? Ohode lav chatos ashechata bo. If and when he realizes that he sinned, ohode lav chatos ashechata bo, then he's mechuyev to bring a korban chatos. The chiyev to bring a chatos only chal when you have idea sachet. Before Yediyas Achet, you're not mechuyev. Yediyas Achet is mechayev and tshuva. Let's say a person, Tosfos and Shavuos, Daf Dalet points this out. Let's say a person has a funny feeling on Matzoy Shabbos about tshuva. He doesn't really know all of Hilchos Shabbos. He has an uncomfortable feeling. Thinks maybe it was Mechal Shabbos. Doesn't know enough dinim. So he's mafresh achatos just in case. But achatos is not bo ben edim and adobi. It can only be mafresh achatos if you're mechuyev to. So he's mafesh chatas just in case he was mechal Shabbos. This should be the chatas. Then he finds out indeed that he was mechal Shabbos. There's a certain detail that he never heard of, and he was mechal Shabbos. So then he brings the korban to the Beis Hamikdash and the makrev it. So the Tosfos says that it's not chal. The kedusha was not chal because he was mafresh it before yediyas achet. He has to be mafresh it again after he finds out. Not just that you can't be makrev a chatas unless you know for sure. It's not bo ben edu and adov. You can't be makrev. It's not chal. The kedusha is not chal until you have yediyas sachet. So Tosfos said that's based on the pasuk. Oho delov chatos ashechata bo. That yediyas sachet is mechayev. Yediyas sachet is always the mechayev. That's the first step in tshuva. Yediyas sachet is always mechayev in tshuva. Then the Torah has the dinim of nisochim. When you will enter Eretz Yisrael and you want to bring a korban, then you have to bring menachasim and iskenkim meduber. You have to bring menachas and iskenkim in conjunction with the korban. There's such a thing as a korban mincha. You can bring a mincha habo b'fnei atzma. But this is not. A person pledges to give an oilos. He has to bring a mincha in conjunction, that's mechasim and iskeim. When we daven musaf, so we say, Yiratzim al-fanacha, you should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll bring all the korbanos, and we'll bring mechasim and iskeim in conjunction with the korbanos. Same thing, yayin. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, you could be makar the korban of yayin. Yayin habo b'fnei atzma. You donate a bottle of wine to the Beis HaMikdash, and they pour the wine on the Mizbech, that is the whole korban. But in the parsha, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about yayin that comes in conjunction with the korban. The mincha is called minchas nesachim. The mincha that comes with nesachim, both of them, chasim and iskeim, are coming in conjunction with the korban. Usually when you bring nesachim, you put, there were pipes on the mizbeach, like over here, there's a hole in the top, and then you would pour the wine down the pipe, and the pipe would lead to shisin, pipes under the ground, and would go to the tahin. There would be a very deep hole under the ground, and the yayin would fall down there. So this is because the yayin came in conjunction with the korban, and the korban, you berserk the dam on the mizbeach, and you burn the chelev on the mizbeach, and if it's the korban oil, you burn the whole thing as kula kol, you burn the whole korban on the mizbeach. What if you donate a bottle of wine? Also, you pour the wine down the pipes, so nothing is going to be on the mizbeach. There's no dam that's going to be nizrak, and there's no emurim that's going to be burnt. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Hamisnat of yayin, one who donates wine, you have to, a korban, you have to burn something, and the smoke will go up to the sky, so as if the smoke is going up to heaven. Heaven, the word shamayim sometimes means the sky, sometimes means the heaven. Bereshis, the Ramban writes on Chumash, Bereshis Baalakim es ha-shamayim es ha-oretz. Ramban writes on the opening pasuk, Shamayim means the Olam HaSoel Yoinim, Behoretz is this world. And then when it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shamayim, and so on, that doesn't mean the heavens. Everything after the first Pasuk is Oretz. We're not talking about Shamayim. Shamayim means the Olam HaRuchni, where the Malachim are. That's not described in Bereshis. The sky is part of Oretz. I remember when they first landed on the moon. So there used to be a Rabbi Scheinberger. He used to come from the Eidach Haredes to America to raise money for the poor Jews in Mershon, Eidach Haredes. So the story goes that he went to Rabbi Soloveitchik in Boston and he asked him for a donation. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I'm going to give you money and you're going to use my money to hang up signs in Mershon attacking me. I should give you money. That he said, no, that's from a different fund. The Kol Kareis that we attack you, that's a different one. This money goes to Anim. So he said, okay. He gave him a significant donation. Then he went to the other people in Boston and he showed them Rabbi Soloveitchik. He gave me thousands of dollars, but about a fortune of money. So the people didn't believe it. So he called up Rabbi Soloveitchik. He said, yeah, this money goes to the Anim. Okay, so they all gave a lot of money. So he struck up a whole friendship with Rabbi Soloveitchik and he would discuss a lot of things with him every time. So when they first landed on the moon, so he went to Rabbi, he happened to be in America, and he went to Rabbi Zalman. He said, the people in Me'er Shorim are befuddled. They can't understand. The Gemara says, HaShamayim, Shamayim, Hashem, Boretz Nosan Levnei Adam, that human beings cannot be Bashamayim. The Gemara said, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the top of Har Sinai, but he was floating above Har Sinai. He didn't have 2 feet on the ground. Moshe Ola Lamorim, so the Gemara says, but the bottom of his feet was still within 10 tefachim to the ground. He didn't go higher, he was floating in the air, but only within 10 tefachim. Human beings cannot be above Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Boras, Nasan, Levin, Yadim. So how can it be that the human beings landed on the moon? Rabbi Soloveitchik told him over this Ramban. He says, the moon, this is all Aretz. When it says Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, means that's the heaven, not the sky. Heaven and the sky are two different things. When it says Bereshis, Baalakim, Hashemayim, Hashem, that means the Olam Aruchni, that's the heavens. And then it says about the Shemayim, that's the sky. So he was so appreciative, he called up right away on his cell phone, he called up and he calmed them all down and made a shorim. And he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Snishkin Kasha, sure. He used to carry on all kinds of conversations. And on Ashkafe, Soloveitchik used to help him out in Hashkafa. So when you burn a korban on the Mizbech and the smoke goes up, the smoke doesn't go to the heaven, the smoke goes up to the direction of the sky. But we usually visualize as if God is in the heavens above, as if the sky is it's not really the same, as if the sky is the heavens, as if we're sending email, as if we're sending the korban on the Mizbech is going up. So that's what the Gemara has a discussion in the middle of Zvachim. Abisnat of Yayin, the whole korban consists of wine. So you're just going to pour it down the pipes on the Mizbeach, but nothing is going to be on, nothing is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, nothing is going to go up to heaven. So what kind of a korban is that? A korban means a matana. How is that a matana? So the Gemara says, maybe what you have to do is not to pour it down the shisen. Maybe meviyim mezalf al gabi hoishim. Maybe you have to pour the wine on top of the fire that it should evaporate. The fire should cause the wine to evaporate. You're going to pour a bottle of wine on the fire. The bottle of wine will extinguish the flame. You'll be in violation of the law. So the Gemara says, maybe you don't pour the bottle of wine like this. Maybe you sprinkle it. Medir umizalfa zilif means you do deep and daken. You sprinkle it, so that's a dovashena miskavena. You know in advance it may or may not extinguish the flame. May or may not, so dovashena miskavena is mutta. The way we pass from like Rabbi Yehuda, dovashena miskavena is mutta, not only Hilcha Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kulo. But the Gemara says, but what do you, if you hold like, not Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds dovashena miskavena is mutta and Kol HaTorah Kulo. The Gemara says, what if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, dovashena miskavena is osir? Then you're not allowed to do Mevi'a Mezalf HaGabahishin. Can you know in advance that you may or may not be extinguishing the flame? So then the Gemara said, you got no choice. You have to pour it down the pipes, even though nothing goes up to heaven. But the way we paskin, like Reb Shimon, the Dov Sheni Miskabed is Mutter, so that's the recommendation of the Gemara. You can be Menadev Yayin as a Karman Bifnei Atznoi, but you don't pour it down the Shisin. Then you sprinkle it HaGabahishin on the fire, in the hope that some of it will evaporate and it'll look like it's going up to the sky, as if it's going up to the heavens. Anyway, this is the institution of Nesochim, and it says the mitzvah of Nesochim, haboim im azevach, minchasim, and iskenke, meduber, only began, kisavoy al eretz moshvay sech, mashani nosein lachem, when they'll come to Eretz Yisrael. However, any Jewish person who brings a korban should do this. Then it says, "V'chiyoger itcha ger." This is the end of Chamishi. V'chiyoger itchem ger o yasher b'sechem l'doraseichem. If a goy will convert in one of the future generations, v'asi yishevech nechoyach l'Hashem. Kashatase Kenya said the ger has to bring a korban hager. In the Chumash, you have at Maimon HaSinai. The Gemara says, we learn out all of the dinam of Geirus from Maim HaSinai. Maim HaSinai was the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. So there was, first and foremost, they said Nasim and Ishma. There's Kabbalah on mitzvahs. There's no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. There's no Geirus. The whole thing is a joke. There's nothing to discuss. But in addition to the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, the commitment to observe all the mitzvahs that come one's way, you have to also do Milah. So the Milah was done in Mitzrayim before they brought Korban Pesach. But it wasn't merely for the purpose of enabling them to eat the Korban Pesach, because kol ora lo yochal boy, that was the beginning of the Geirus process. Then the Tefillah in Parshas Yisro, it only says explicitly in the Chumash, the married people had to be purish from each other, because a Balkari and a Paletish Chazer were not permitted to participate in Maimon HaSinai. It doesn't say about the single people. The Gemara says, no, the single people also, everybody had to be toivah in the mikveh. Gemara derives it from the pasuk. So they needed milah, they needed kabbalas on mitzvah, milah and tefillah, and then they needed korban. So at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, doesn't say that they brought shishim ribo. There were shishim ribo men between the age of 20 and 60, probably shishim ribo women also between the age of 20 and 60. Then there were younger than 20 and older than 60. Then there was Erev Rav. There were a few million people at Maimon HaSinai. So they didn't bring, each and every person bring his own korban hager. It was one national geirus. So they brought a few karbanas. There was a harashah. It was a national geirus. So the psukim say, the end of mishpatim, they brought a few karbanas. So here the pasuk says that l'doiras chayogim chayel l'doiras sechem, in the future generations, the din requires that each and every geir has to bring his own korban oilo. You can't bring, it's not a national gerus. Maimon Hasina was a national gerus. So that's why he needed to have a lane from Sefer Abris. It says that a lane from a Sefer Torah. That we don't have one in Mekabel Ger today. We don't have laning from a Sefer Torah. You only need laning from a Sefer Abris when there's a national Kabbalah Sater. But when you have an individual Ger, then each individual person has to bring his own Korban Olam. If you can afford it, you bring a Korban Behemoth. It's going to cost a fortune of money. If you can't afford that, you bring a Korban Ha'oif. Oif is going to be much less expensive. So that's the Pasuk. The Ger has the same din. Also has to bring and Rasam and Eskeim in conjunction with the Korban Ager that he brings. Torah Hashem Mishpatach Yolachem Velager Hagoritchem, the same din. The Gemara learns that. The Gemara has a discussion whether the Korban Hager is Ma'akev and the Geirus. Let's say Hager was Kabbal all mitzvahs in the presence of the Bezin, he does Mila, he does Tefillah, he's Jewish. So what does he have to bring the Korban Hager? Is he held back? Does he have a full Kedush he saw? Or is there anything missing? So the Gemara says there's a concept of Mechusi Kippurim. A person who is Tomei went to the mikveh, then he has to have Harashemesh. So sometimes, in a few cases, there are born Mechusi Kapurim. There are four Tomeim who, after they went to mikveh and they have Harashemesh, they still have to bring Korbanos to complete their Tahara process. That's the Zav Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzorah. Those are the four people who are born Mechusi Kapurim. That's the second name of the second parak increases, Arbam Mechusi Kapar. So the Mishnah says a ger in a certain sense is also Mechusi Kapar. It's not that he's Tomei. He has an incomplete Kedush Yisrael till he brings the Korban Oila. With respect to what does he have an incomplete? He can't eat from a Korban. He's not like, usually if you bring, someone brings a Korban Shlomim, so any Jewish person whose Tohar is permitted to eat the Shlomim. But the ger is still considered like a goy with respect to eating from the Korbanos. So his Kedushas Yisrael is incomplete. The Gemara says, all the Gerim who convert today, how do we know that the Geris is valid? Maybe the Korban is Ma'akev. So the Gemara says, no, since it says the Dora Sechem, Chiyogar Itchem Ger, the Dora Sechem, so you see you can accept the Ger in all the generations. It's a questionable drosha. How do they learn? The Pasuk is talking about Zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. So he's talking about bringing a Korban. So how do they see from the word the Dora Sechem that you can accept the ger even as much ain beis hamikdash kaim? It's problematic. But that's what the Gemara quotes this pasuk. You see, you can accept the ger in all the generations, even when there is no beis hamikdash. Then you have the parsha of challah. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the mitzvah of challah, so the mitzvah satluyas ba'aretz doesn't apply in chutz l'aretz. The din really is problematic. Why is it considered one of the mitzvahs that leads? But the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Kedushin divides between chayves karka, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to chayves gavra. Shabbos and kashrus and taras hamishpach has nothing to do with agriculture. That applies all over the world. So hafroshas challah doesn't really depend on whether the grain which you use to make flour and to make the dough, whether the grain grew in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz L'Aretz, it depends where you made the Gilgal, where did you do the Lisha. If you did the Lisha in Eretz Yisrael, even from flour that came from America, it's Chai Ben Chalan. If you did the Lisha in Chutz L'Aretz, even if the flour came from Eretz Yisrael, it's not Chai Ben Chalan. So why is that the mitzvah Tlui Ba'aretz is a good question. But that's what the Mishnah says, despite the fact that it depends, doesn't depend where the Tvua grew, it depends where you do the Lisha, where you do the Gilgal. The Mishnah considers challah one of the mitzvahs of Kliyas Baretz. So it should really depend on Kedushas HaOretz. Kedushas HaOretz only set in after the first 14 years Meshuah Yisrael as HaYarden. Yeshua Ben-Nun crossed over the Yarden, and then it took Sheva Shekopshus, took 7 years to conquer all of the Lam and Aleph Malachim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. There were 31 kings. Eretz Yisrael is a centrally located country. It's the link between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And whoever controls Eretz Yisrael has a better chance of controlling all the three continents. That's why the Nazis, when they wanted to control the whole world, so they wanted to take over Palestine. That's when they started to lose the war. But they were bombing Eretz Yisrael in order to take over Eretz Yisrael, to have Shlita over the whole Europe, Asia, and Africa. That's when they started losing. So the Pasuk says, the Vayachem al Ha'aretz, even though the mitzvah of Truma and Shemitah V'Yovel only began in the 15th year, Mishav Yisrael, the first 14 years, it didn't have a Kedusha Sa'aretz. It took 7 years to conquer from the Laban Aleph Malach, and I had palaces there. Then it took, that's what it says in Tanakh. Then the Gemara has an oral tradition. Gemara means an oral tradition. It took another 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. They had to divide among the Shvatim and divide among the Mishpachas, then divide among the Yechidim. So the first 14 years there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz. But nonetheless, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Mishnah Biyazum, we call Biyaz Shabbatar. All over it says, Kisavoy al Ha'aretz. After Shebesh and Kav Shebesh and Chilku, then the mitzvah began. The mitzvah of Challah began right away, Bevayachem al Ha'aretz. Right away in the middle of the 14 years. So the Pashtus is that you don't need Kedusha Sa'aretz for Challah. That's the Pashtus. Or you have to maybe word it differently. The full Kedusha Sa'aretz is only Chal if you have Shebesh HaKavshu, Shebesh HaChilkel. And maybe when he crossed over the Arden at the beginning of the Kibush, there was already a Miktas Kedusha Sa'aretz. So the Gemara has, of all places, in Ksubas, in the second parak in Ksubas, the Gemara has a discussion whether Chalab is Manazeh, is the Rais or the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says there's room to distinguish in both directions between Chala and Truma. The Bi'er Rishayna in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Kisavay al Ha'aretz, was a Bi'as Kulchem. The whole Klal Yisrael was involved in Kibush Ha'aretz. The Bi'as Shnia was not a Bi'as Kulchem. It was way less than 50% of the world Jewish population was conquering Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara said there's room to say, since it was not a Bi'as Kulchem, so Trumas and Maisis is only the Rabbanan Bizman Bayesheni. Moshe Enike in Chala, the Chiv Chala Baschal, originally within the first 14 years, before there was any Kibush. If the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael is Kibush, so the Rambam explains, if the Goyim make a Kibush to take away from us, so the undoes the Kibush and undoes the whole Kedusha. But if the Chiv Chala began before the Kibush of Eretz, so there's no reason to say that it should be Batlo. So Gemara says there's room to argue the point and say, even if Trumas and Maisis, Bizman by Sheni is only the Rabbanon, because there was no Bi'as Kulchem, but Chala should be Min HaTorah. Chala should be Min HaTorah, because you don't need the Kibush in order to be Mekadosh. At the beginning, the Vayachem al Ha'aretz right away was Niskadosh, and maybe it was never in his battle. Other Gemara said there's room to distinguish in the other direction. Maybe even if you hold that Trumas and Maisis, Bizman is the Raisa, you don't need Bi'as Kulchem. Maybe Chala is only the Rabbana. So the Gemara has in both directions. We assume that Chala and Eretz Yisrael Bizman is only the Rabbana. And Trumas and Maisis is also only the Rabbana. We assume that both only the Rabbana. And Chala and Chutzlor, that's the Rabbana on top of the Rabbana. Chala and Eretz Yisrael itself, we assume, is only the Rabbana. So Chutzlorz, Oto Eretz Yisrael, is the Rabbanan on top of the Rabban. So that's why there's a Gemara in Bchoris on Daf Chav Zayin, where the Gemara has a whole list of Kulas, one after the other, a lot of Kulas and Chalas Chutzlorz, because of the fact that it's a lower level Rabban, not the same as a normal Rabban. It's a Rabbanan on top of a Rabbanan. Why do we call it Chala? What does the word Chala mean? So the in Yerideya, in Hilchas Chala, the third Chelik Yerideya, there's a machlokes, the Mechaba, the Ramah, what is the Nusach HaBrocha that one recites when you're Mafrish Chala? The Mechaba says, he say, here it says, Reishis HaRisisech Mechala Torima Truma. So the Mechaba says, Allah Froshas Truma. The Chala is really Truma. The Mishneh Me'ilah, I think we just mentioned it the other day, Mishneh Me'ilah says, in order to get Malkus, when you eat non-kosher food, you have to eat a kazayas. Reb Shimon's opinion is kosher ula malkus. Chatzi shira zosman atara, and you get malkus. So we paskin chatzi shira zosman atara, but you don't get malkus. But in order to get malchus for eating macholos asuris, you have to have a kazayis of the same thing. Let's have a half a kazayis of basa b'cholim and a half a kazayis of nevela meat. They're not mitzarfim. There's one tana holds that isurim mitzarfim zem zeh to constitute a kazayis. We don't accept that opinion. You have to eat a kazayis of basa b'cholim, a kazayis of chazer, a kazayis of pigol, a nois atom. You can't be mitzarf one with the other. So the Mishnah Mila says, if I'm not a kohen and I eat quarter of a kazayis of truma, quarter of a kazayis of chala, quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter of a kazayis of maisa mina maisa, that's all shem echad. That's all called truma. Shem echad. Shirem shavim, ushmaseim shavim, it's mitztarfim. So the Ramah writes that when you, so the Mechaber writes, when you mafresh chali, you say, bro, halafrashas truma. The Ramah writes that the Ashkenazim have the practice, we say, halafrashas chala, or lahafresh chala min oisa, two versions. So the Vilna Gaon thinks, the Vilna Gaon is an Ashkenazi, but he thinks that you shouldn't follow this Ramah, because the word chala is really a Yiddishism. We call it Mishnah is chala. Mishnah tikkits are talking about chala. He says the word chala in biblical Hebrew refers to the raw dough. Reishis avisa sech mechala terim v'truma. When you take out what we call mafresh zayin chala, in biblical Hebrew, that's called truma. The challah is, the whole batch of dough is called the challah. So the Avudram, this is Sefer Avudram, well, one of the late, late Rishonim, Rav David Avudram. So the Avudram, the theme of the whole Sefer Avudram is that Anshei Knesset HaGdol, who composed all the Nuschos HaTfilo, the Brachas, and Kiddush and Avdol, and so on, the Gemara said they composed everything. They composed the theme of the whole Sefer, the premise of the whole Sefer is they composed it using a biblical Hebrew. So the whole Sefer is dedicated to explain where is there a pasuk in Tanakh. Let's say, Shemea kol truas amisol hayom berachami. Where does it say in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tkiyas? Of course he does, but where does it say that in the Chum? He shows you the psukim. Rotzei b'tshuvah. Where does it say in Tanakh HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzei b'tshuvah? Where does it say all this? He has a pasuk on every single line in the Siddur. So the Netziv thinks that the whole, he disagrees with the whole premise. The Netziv wrote a commentary on the Shiltas, so he thinks he has a Gemara Brachas that rejects the whole premise of the Avodram. He throws out the whole Avodram. He thinks that it's not true. But many of the Poskim, the Maralmi Prague and the Vilna Gaon, many others, the Taz quotes it, many of the Poskim assume that the premise of the Avodram is correct, that Tfilas and brachas, well, composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, have to be recited in a biblical Hebrew, not in a slang, not in a Yiddishism. So to say a bracha la frosh eschala, that's a Yiddishism. That's a slang expression. It's not really. Why did they use such a lashon la frosh eschala? So some of the mefarshim write on Mishnayis chala. I think it's that the Melech HaShleimer. Melech HaShleimer is one of the Svardish achreidim. So he always has interesting, he always gives Poshim Shat in the Din. A lot of times he goes into Agarata or Kabbalah. So he says the word Chala is a gematria of 43. Lamed is 30 and Ches is 8 and He is 5. So that's 43. He says how much dough do you have in order to be Chai ben Chala? So Shir Rashi Gan Chumash quote, Shir Isas Midbar Oymala Gulgoylas. How much is an oimer? So in parentheses, it's shir mem gum beitzah mechaimish beitzah, 43 1/5 beitzah. So maybe that's the reason why they picked the loshen chala, because the gematria of chala is mem gimel. Doesn't have the chaimish, mem gimel, because that's the shir. If you have a volume of 43 beitzim of dough, then you chayv en afroshes chali. How does that translate in America? How does that translate? So they. Rafenkin used to be the big pesik in America before Moshe Feinstein came from Europe, from Russia. So he wrote in his forum that between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, when you make it into dough, you should be mafresh chala without a bracha. When you use 5 pounds of flour, then you can be mafresh chala with a bracha. So it's not 100% accurate, but approximate. A lot of times people don't really use that much flour. They only say a bracha if it's really mem gimel beitz mechaimish beitz. May reishis savi sasechem titnu truma l'Hashem. The Dora sechem. May reishis velo kol reishis, the Gemara says. Let's say a person wants to be very generous and he wants to give 50% of the dough to the Kohanim. He wants to declare half of the dough as challah, gesunta hay. He wants to give 75% to the Kohanim. Fine, you declare all you want. But if you want to declare 100%, so then the challah is not being mata any shirayim. That's not called challah. Same thing, truma. You can give chitach, as you can have a room the size of this room filled to the ceiling with grain, and you only billions and billions of kernels of grain. The only mafresh chitach as pateris is kolakri. One little kernel of grain will take off the iser of tevel from the tvua. But that's not right. That'll take off the iser tevel. But the kohanim have to have food to live on, so he's supposed to give a significant amount because the kohanim lam not lechelik bar. It's kohanim levim. They have to live off of the matas kuna matas levim. So more correct, you shouldn't give chitachas. On the level of the rice, you have to give more. But if you take off chitachas, but yeah, it'll take off the yisur tevel. So you can take chitachas, you can take 25%, as much as you want. The midah beinon is the recommended amount is 2%. 2%. Echad mechamishim. If you want to be very generous, you give echad me'arboim. To give more than echad marboim, that's not mechuyev and not recommended. And if you want to be cheap about it, you feel you can't afford to give echad mechamishim, so don't give less than echad mishishim. If you gave less, it'll be good. Imichitachas bateres kolakri, but that's not the law. That's not proper. But if you mafrish everything as truma, then it's not chal, because truma has to be mater. These are tevel from the rest. And if you declare everything as truma, that's not racious. Racious means racious shesherel nikorim. You have to have something left over. So that's a din racious by challah, racious by truma also. There's a famous discussion in Achreinim. It's really a lot of Rishonim talk about it, but Achreinim were the ones who raised the issue. The chiyuv, let's say, you bake challahs and you bake cake and cookies and you have a big shiur. The teacher is teaching the girls how to bake challah. And then it turns out that there's so much challah for Shabbos, there's more than enough. So you're going to throw it out. You're not going to do anything with it. Is there a mitzvah to be mafrish challah, or let's say trumas and maises? Let's say they have tons and tons of tevel in Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to throw it into the ocean. Than America. They used to throw tons of grain in the ocean in order to keep the prices up. Because if you have too big a supply and the demand is not so big, so the prices are going to be lowered. So in order to keep the prices higher, so they throw tons of tvua into the ocean. So the shaila is, if you have more than you need, you're not going to eat this stuff. Is it still a mitzvah to be mafresh trumas and maises? Or is it like if you, maybe the mitzvah is only if you plan to eat it. If you don't plan to eat it, maybe it's a matir. Maybe the mitzvah only is if you're interested in eating the bread, you're interested in eating the tefuah, then you have a mitzvah to be mafresh tumas amayis. If you're not interested in eating it, that's not. So this is a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Taz in two different places. The Taz is in Siman Aleph and Yerudeya. And the Magen Avraham is in Hilchas Tzitzis in Siman Ches. But Rabbi Kiveger on the Taz in Yerideya tells you to look in the Magen Avraham that he disagrees. So on Yerideya, there's a sefer that was put together by the Maharsham. Maharsham was in the early 1900s. He was a Galatiana Poisek. He was a fantastic Bucky. So he has a sefer called Das Torah on Yerideya. He gives Hevarfson Mar Mekaymus with Finn. Fantastic, Nikias. So he shows that this machloikis, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, is a beferish machloikis in Rishonim. A couple of Rashis in different Mesichtis, where Rashi says that the mitzvah of Hafrashas Trumas and Maises only applies if you're interested in eating it. If you're not interested, not. That's what the Magen Avraham says. And the other Rishonim say beferish, like the Taz wrote, that the mitzvah applies even if you're not interested in eating it. And they quote in the name of the Talmidei HaGro, say that they heard from the Gro, based on a pasuk in Yecheskel. I forgot it anyway. I think it may be one of the Haftarahs, based on a pasuk in Yecheskel, that the Vilna Gaon thought that there's a difference between challah and trumas and maises. That challah, there's a mitzvah to be mafresh even if you're not interested in eating it, And Truma Samarsis is only a mitzvah to be marfish if you are interested in eating it. But this is a famous topic that they talk about. That the Rishonim have, you have to dig up the Rishonim. They said there's a Beferish and Machlokes, and Acharonim talk about it explicitly. Then the Torah has that usually there's a din if a person violates an aver b'shoigeg, and the nature of the aver is such that if he would have violated it, the mezid it would have been chayv kores. So then it says in Parshas Vayikra, kol davish has done a kores shigigos achatos. That's to bring a chatos kavua. Chatos kavua means whether he can afford it or not. That's it. He has to bring the carbon. Sometimes there's a chatos olabiyorin. If you can't afford a chatos behemi, you bring. If you can't afford a chatasoif, then you bring a minchas chayte. But that's by other averes, chatas alviyorit. By dovishas, donakor, shigos, a chatas, is a chatas kavua. Whether you can afford it, you can't afford it, that's it. You have to bring a chatas behema. So that's by every other, there are 36 averes for which there's a punishment of chorus. That's the opening mission increases. Lamed vav krisis on muras batur. 36 averes. 34 averes and 2 amitzus esse. Pesach amilo. There's not an aver, that's a mitzvah sase. So 36 in Yonim, that is a punishment of kores. So today's parsha Shlach singles out Avodah Zarah. If a yochid violates an Avodah Zarah b'shoigeg, he doesn't bring kizbo or sira. He brings an eiz. Eiz bashnasa lachatas. He doesn't have a choice, kizbo or sira. And the same thing, if it's par halam davish al tzibur, if the Bez Nagodl made a mistake and the Rav HaTziba violated the Aver because of a mistake of Psaka Bez Nagodl, usually it'd bring a parhal and Dovish al Tzibur. But if the Bez Nagodl made a mistake and they allowed a certain form of Avodah Zarah, then they bring a different korban. That's in today's Sedra. Bez Nagodl paskan incorrectly, and the Rav HaTziba violated the Yisra Avodah Zarah because of the mistake of Psaka the Bez Nagodl, then they bring a different korban. That's in today's Sedra. Then you have the parsha about the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh was Machal Shabbos, B'mezid. Tosis in Baba Basra, and the Yeshnachan quotes a Medrash. Tosis made the Medrash famous. The Mekoshesh was L'shem Shamayim Niskave. They were told that they're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael after the Meraglim came back, and they were crying. So they were told, B'admirbar Zayit Lutbigrech L'chof Figudechem. Your children, after the 40 years are up in the desert, your children will be zecher to go to Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of the people figured, we're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, so what do we have to keep Shabbos? You have to keep Shabbos in order to be zecher to get to Eretz Yisrael. If we're not going to live so long, we're going to die in the Midbar, we don't have to keep Shabbos. So he went ahead, and he was Mechal Shabbos b'meizid b'hasrua, which Meshugan is going to be Mechal Shabbos b'meizid. And the Edom say, we're going to give you a ski. We're going to give you the death penalty. And the guy says, I don't care, give me the death penalty. You have to be crazy to do it. So he did it, L'shem Shamayim, to demonstrate to the Tzibba that even if you're not going to live so long to go there, it's still not like, you still Chai Misa, if you're Mechal Shabbos. That's what Tosfos quotes in Medrash. The Mekoshesh was L'shem Shamayim, this covenant. So it says, they put him in prison, Kilo Porish Ma'i Yosolo. What do you mean, Kilo Porish Ma'i Yosolo? They were told, Mechal Aleha Mos Yumos. But they weren't told which form of Misa. There are Arba Misa's Bezen. Skeet Esveh, Herig V'chenik. So they didn't know what Misa. So when they gave Masra, they didn't say which Misa it's going to be. They just said, we're going to give you the death penalty. So that's a machloike satanoim. If you just give a Hasra, don't do this Aver, we're going to give you the death penalty. They don't say Be'ezah Misa. It's a machloike satanoim. I think we paskin is not a valid Hasra. So the Gemara says the Mekoshesh that they gave in the death penalty, Harua Shohoisa, because Mikar Adin, the Hasro, was not a valid Hasro, because we Paschal like the Tani have to say Be'ezah Misa. Tosis has a famous Kasha there. What do you mean they didn't know Be'ezah Misa? Whenever you don't know, whenever it says Mos Yumas, and you don't know which Misa, so you get Stamis Amur Batar and Elachenik. Because there are Arba Misa's Bezin, Skila, Svev, Erik, Chenik. Chenik is the least of all of them. Skila is the most common, Svev is next. Machlokes HaTanoim. Is it Skila first and then Svev, or Svev first and then Skila? So we pass on Skila, Svev, and then Erik, Chenik is also Machlokes. There were two cemeteries for the Haruge Bezin. There weren't so many Haruge Bezin. In the history of the world, there weren't so many Haruge Bezin, but they had to designate two cemeteries. one cemetery was for the Niskolim and Nisrafin, and one cemetery was for the Neharogim and Echnokim. Because these are Mochomer than them, and you're not allowed to bury Tzadik Eitzel Rosh. How did they bury the Niskolim Eitzel, the Nisrafin? According to all the Tanoim, some Aderis are worse than the other. Machloik is which is Mochomer. The Gemara said that was Allah Moshe Messina, even though one Avera, the Skila, is Mochomer than the Sreifa, according to the other Tanoim, the Sreifa is Mochomer than the Skila. That's Allah Moshe Messina, the Niskolim and the Sreifim that buried together. So there was over the generations, they already forgot which was the Mochomer, the Skila, or the Sreifa. So we pass the Skila, Sreifa, Eric Chenik, and Chenik is the least. So the Gemara says, Tamis Amor Batar, Ena Lechenik, if you don't know which form of Misa you have to. He says, Sopping the Pashas Lahakel. Sopping the Pashas Lahakel means you don't give him the death penalty if there's any Sophic, or you give him the least death penalty. So why did they have a Sophic? They should have given him Chenik. Well, what do you mean, Kilo Parish Mayor Salam? So Taisa says, because they knew, they were already told the din. In Oibed Abedizor is Dina Kemumra Lachala Tarakulam. Let's say a Nochri Shech Zaveim. So the Mishnah says in Chulin, the first peg, Shchitas Nochri is Neveila. What if a Jew is an Oibed Abedizor and he Shech Zaveim? So Oibed Abedizor is Dina Ka'akum and Shchitas a Neveila. It's a question whether it's Minatorah, Midirabon, and many Mishanim hold that it's a Din Minatorah. He saw Mumr, Oibed Abedizor. So since they were told this, and Tosis is making an assumption, they were already told the din, then Mechal Shabbos, Befrahesia, Dina Koibet Abed Azor, and Oibet Abed Azor is Dina Biskilo. So this fellow was Mekosha Sheitzim in public. He was Mekosha Sheitzim. But him to this Mekosha Sheitzim in public, he was demonstrating. He did it Bedavke. L'shem Shemaim Niskavitza. He made a big scene. He made a big public demonstrations being Mechal Shabbos in order to teach the lesson that the din of Shabbos still applies, even though you're not going to be zeichet to go to Eretz Yisrael. So since Mechal Shabbos din ka'akum, so Abed Abed Azor is chayv skilus, and Matt Taisa said that was the Sophic. So Rabbi Kevegar asked Akasha and Taisus on the Gilyan Ashas. Rabbi Kevegar asked Akasha and Taisus, so what did they do? So they were told, they didn't know Kilo Parish Mayos, they didn't know what Misa to give them. They were mesupik whether she get chenik, stamis amur, batara chenik, or they should give him skila, because maybe Mechal Shabbos befes. So when they were told that they give him a skila, so how do we know bizman is that Mechal Shabbos betzina is beskila? Maybe it's only Mechal Shabbos befrahesia. Because it was befrahesia, so Dina Kovid Abed Azar. That's Rabbi Kevega's kasha. So that's what the Rabbanim like to try to give terutzim on Tosfos Kash. The parsha ends with the mitzvah of tzitzis, mitzvah of tchelas. If you have a four-corner garment, you have to put on tzitzis. What material is the garment made from? The Gemara says if the garment is made from wool or linen, that for sure is chayv min haTorah. Stam begad hamur b'Torah. Stam begodim amur b'Torah is tzemer or pishon. What if the garment is made from cotton, or made from silk, or made from other materials? So that's a big machlokes hatanaim, whether that's chayv min haTorah midirabbanan. So because of that machlokes, that's why the Ramor recommends really the obligation to wear tzitzis is conditional. If you're wearing a four-corner garment, you have to wear tzitzis. If you're not wearing a four-corner garment, you don't have to wear tzitzis. But we go out of our way to put on a four-corner garment, to put ourselves in a situation that we're chayv in tzitzis. Why should we do that? So Tosfos points to the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Soita. And Moshe Rabbeinu had such a desire. He offered hundreds and hundreds of tefillahs that he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why did he want so much to enter as Michelechon the period with his Baya Mituva? He wanted to swim in the Kinneret. He wanted to eat the delicious food in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, no. If he'll live in Eretz Yisrael, he'll have the opportunity to fulfill more mitzvahs. He wanted to be able to fulfill. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the mitzvahs. So what's the problem? No, but you see that tzaddikim go out of their way to put themselves in a situation that they'll be able to be Mekayim more mitzvahs. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu, went out of his way. He wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael to fulfill the mitzvah of Lidbar. And so we should all wear Arba Kamfis in order to put ourselves in a situation that Yechayiv and Tzitzis. Other Balei HaTaisis say, what kind of a chutzpah? Who do you think you are? You're on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. You are. When you'll be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, then you'll put on a talis. So that's why in Morocco, the minig was in many communities in Morocco, only the rabbi wore a talis. Arba Kamfis that you wear under your clothes that the Balabatim also wore. But to wear a talis in public, only the rabbi. So a lot of the Moroccans, most of the Moroccans moved there to Israel, so they were embarrassed, and now they all wear a talis in shul. And some of them are complaining. Why did they neglect their minig of the same? Their minig was, but only the rabbi wears a talis in shul. The Balabatim is a chutzpah, mechziki yuhara, they shouldn't wear. Anyway, but that's 2 days in Tosis, and the accepted opinion is that we should all try to be like Moshe Rabbeinu as far as this is concerned. You should wear a four-corner garment in order to be chayv to put on tzitzis. Yeah, there's... what if the garment is made from leather? Four-corner garment made from leather. Gemara says, not chayv in tzitzis, l'chol ha'deis. Why? Because there's no shes of yerev. Only time it's called the beggar that it's chayv in tzitzis. If you have a warp and a woof, if you have threads going horizontally and vertically, crisscross, that makes it bigger. But leather is one sheet of leather. So let's say you have nylon, you have rayon, acetate, something like that. So they take petroleum and they can make a sheet of nylon, or they can make thread, and then you can take the thread and make. So if you make a sheet of nylon, or rayon, acetate, whatever, there's no warp and a woof, then everyone agrees that it's dinuk or like leather, and it's not chayv in tzitzis. What if they made thread, nylon thread, and they made a warp and a woof, a shes of yerem? So that's a machloikis in recent years. Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer that since they could have made it as a sheet in the first place, they didn't have to make it as thread. So even if they made thread and they made a warp and a woof, he doesn't think that it's chayiv and tzitzis. And the other gedolim, Tzvi Pesel Frank and others, disagree. They say, no, if it's one sheet, then you're not chayiv, like leather. But if it has a shes of yerev, then you are chayiv. Yeah, by shatnas, there are two psukim. There's one pasuk, beggar climb shatnas, lo yalo alecha ha'aloh is osur, and lo silba shatnas. You're not allowed to wear shatnas. So let's say the jacket that I'm wearing, or the shirt, and the undershirt, something has shatnas, so that's la silba shatnas. Let's say I went to the barber shop the other day, so he put something on top of me to protect my clothing. The hair shouldn't fall on the clothing, so that's not levisha, that's ha'aloh. Or let's say when you go to sleep and you put a blanket on top, so if the blanket is shatnas, you can't say it's the person's wearing pajamas, but he's not wearing the blanket. The blanket is ha'aloh. So that's a din, ha'aloh is also by shatnas, not only levisha. Allah is also us. So the Magen Avraham quotes an obscure Rishon. It's not Rashi or Tosfos, one of the other Rishonim whom we rarely ever consider. One of the Rishonim says that just like by shatnas, the din of shatnas applies even if it's only Allah, so too by tzitzis. If you have a four-cornered blanket, you chayim and tzitzis in the blanket. So it look ridiculous. No, nobody ever puts tzitzit on a blanket. So they recommend you should make one of the corners round, so it won't be four corners. It'll only be three corners and rounded, so it won't be chayv and tzitzit. So the Magen Avraham says that the whole thing is a chumrah. We really don't hold like this opinion. Maspik is a geruk if you're machmer, if the blanket is made for tzemer or pishtim. Usually it's not going to make a blanket from tzemer. It'll make from pishtim. From tzemer, you're not going to make from pishtim. The tzemer keeps you warm. So if the blanket is made from tzemer or pishtim, that for sure is chayv min ha-Torah. So then you say, maybe with a stretch, there's a sveka deraisa l'chumer. Maybe you should be choshish for that opinion. But if it's from other materials, that it's questionable in the first place, whether you're chayv min ha-Torah only with the rabbanon, so then you're not mechuyev to be machmer on that. So that's how they quote. The Chazon Ish is to be machmer on that. When the blanket was made, he followed the Magen Avraham. When the blanket was made from wool, he would be machmer to make one of the corners rounded. So for sure, it won't be chayv and tzitzit. Then the Torah says that You have to put tchelis. You have to put psil tchelis. How many strings of tchelis do you have? So that's a big machlokes harishonim. So how many strings of tzitzis do you put in bechlal? So that's a machlokes bishamay bisil. So bisil say you take three long strings and you fold it over, and it turns into six short strings. Bishamay say take four long strings, you fold it over, it turns into eight. That's one of the six cases where Siddur Rav Amram going, Tosfos in Sukkot, Av Gimel and Av quotes, Rav Amram going says that there, for the many disputes between Bisham and Bisil, we always pass like Bisil, except for six cases. And this is one of the six that we pass on like Bishamai, that you take four long strings and you fold them over and make eight. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek HaSvina tells that Rabbi Bar Bachana went once on a guided tour. There was an Arab, Ahutaya, an Arab was showing them the Mesim Midbar, the Mesim in the Midbar, who died every year on Tisha B'Av. They were dying, those who reached the age of 60. So, B'luei Koirach, he showed them all the things in the Chumash, in the Midbar. And when he came to the Beis Medrash after his vacation was over, he told everybody he saw the Mesim Midbar. So they asked him, did you check the tzitzis to see whether it's like Bisil, like Beshama? Is it six strings or is it eight strings? They said it didn't occur to him. So they said, what an idiot. You're there and you see the Mesim, you don't check to see whether like Bisil, like Beshama. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Babahana was an idiot. He should have checked to see. Anyway, we follow Beshama. You make four long strings, makes eight. So the Rambam's opinion is that Psil Tchelis is one out of eight. So how do you do that? You have one long string and you die half of the string. So the recent Svarim, when they started to make the Tchelis, they said that's not going to help. If you're going to, the strings are all twined. If you're going to dip half of the string in the dye, only the outside will turn Tchelis. The inside will still be white. That's not acceptable. You have to dye the wool before you make it into a string. And then when you make the string, you have to use that wool for one half of the string, and regular wool for the other half. So half will be tchelis, half will be lovam. So the Rama's opinion is that you have half of one long string. One of the eight strings is tchelis. The Ravid says that doesn't make sense. Psil tchelis is one long string, one of the long strings, not half of one of the long strings. And Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of Perek HaTchelis are of the opinion that you have to have two and two. You have to have two white strings and two strings dyed tchelis. So which shita should you follow? So the quote from Vilna Gaon, he thought that Rashi and Tosfos are for sure not correct. He thought the Rambam and the Ravid, he doesn't know which one you should follow, but the Rashi and Tosfos are for sure not correct. But when you look in Shulchan Aruch, we have been assuming from generations already that it's two and two. The Chaber writes like that it's two and two. When you get to other dinim, Gardume, and the Mishnah Bura quotes from the Malbim, from the Arts of Sakhaim, we assume that it's two and two. So that's why I would think that if one is going to wear the tchelis, you should have two and two. You shouldn't follow the Rambam or the Rav. For all the generation, we've been following that opinion. There is a machloikis hatanaim, where the tchelis me'akebis has a lovan, or lovan me'akebis hatchelis. You say if you have tzitzis without tchelis, you have an incomplete kiyum mitzvah. If you have with tchelis, a mitzvah b'shlei musa, or they say, no, you're not yotze the mitzvah at all. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. And that's a machlokes harishonim. The Baal Hamor, in Masechah Shabbos, on the bottom of the Rif, in Perek Bamim Adlikin, the Gemara mentioned that Rabbi Yudah b'Rabbi Loi would wash on Erev Shabbos, l'kavod Shabbos, he would bathe, and he would get dressed big the Shabbos, and he would wear his tzitzis, his Shabbos de Katalis, with the tchelas, so the Baal Hamor over there, because there's no rif on Hilchas tzitzis. So Baal Hamor writes over there, he thinks that the din is like the Tana, that tchelas me'akevis es alov. If you don't have tchelas, you're wasting your time, you don't gain anything, you can't say a brocha, there's no mitzvah at all to have tzitzis without tchelas. The Ramban writes, we heard that the Baal Hamor never wore tzitzis during his lifetime because he holds that tchelis makevis is alovan. They quote that the Maharam Rutenberg on Shabbos would be careful. He wouldn't wear tzitzis chutz la'erev. He was afraid of hoitzor. What is he afraid of hoitzor? So different Talmidim of the Maharam give different versions. What was he afraid of? So some said he was afraid that the strings may rip in such a way that it'll be possible. Then it'll be an Isar Haitzor on the Chutim. Because Mechubel Beged, Dina Ke Beged, you're not in violation of Haitzor on the strings on the Beged. Only Mechubel Beged, if it's darker Bekach. But if let's say a person attaches a handkerchief, he sews on a handkerchief on his beggar. That's not normal to sew a handkerchief on, because he has a cold and he wants to blow his nose. So whenever he has a cold, he's going to blow his nose. That's not normal. So mechubel a beggar, when it's not dark of bekach, so that's the apostle of tzitzis. That's not dark of bekach, so that's how it's all, because you're going to take it off and put a different one on. Or let's say you have buttons that are hanging down. The buttons are not holding well, and it doesn't look good. Buttons on a jacket, something like that. That's mechubel a beggar, ain't dark of bekach. Let's say you have the label of the company here. It says who made the suit. Or sometimes you have a shatnas label, or you have a label in the back, whatever. So that's normal. They manufacture, they put on the label, and the people wear it like that. But if you have mechubel a beggar, ain't dark of bekach. So then it is oitzol. So some of the Talmidim of the Mamrut Merk say the reason why he wouldn't go chutz la'era with the tzitzis, he was afraid that maybe the tzitzis would rip in such a way that it'll be possible to be an Issa Haitzor. And others wrote differently that he was choshish for the Balamor Shita, that there's no mitzvah tzitzis bizmanas at all, because the halacha should really be like that. Tana, Tchelas Makeva says halavon. So all week long he did say a bracha on the talis. He was assuming for bracha levatola is only the rabbanon. Rabbeinu Tam holds bracha levatola is only the rabbanon. So for that we assume that we don't paskin like that shita. So he would say a bracha on the talis, but to walk in the street chutz la'erev haitzor is an isa deraisa. So that he was choshish. Maybe the Balamor is right. And there's no mitzvah at all having the chutei tzitzis, so it's haitzor, because mechubel a beggar ain't darka bekach, because you're not gaining anything by having the chutim. So they asked the netziv, which is the correct version. So the netziv thinks that he checks which talmidim of the Mamrut Merk said this version, that he was afraid the chutim may rip, and which said the other version. He says he thinks the talmidim were closer to the Mamrut Merk understood better. And they understood correctly that it's because it was choshish for the Balamor. So those who were not that close, they thought that he was afraid that the strings would rip. This is problematic, though, because in the first tshuva, the Meshiv Dover, in the Nechiv's collection of tshuvas, the first tshuva is a letter to the author of the Mishnah Brura. So he got a copy of Chelek Aleph from the Mishnah Brura. So he says he doesn't agree with what it says there. It says there that if you wear an arba kanfas that's a baby size, that doesn't really cover too much of the body, it's an iser haitzor to wear it in the street on Shabbos, because the strings are a masri. So he said, why are the strings masri? Mechubel a beggar and darka bekach. He always wears the garment like this. There are a lot of people wear a baby size arba kanfas. It's not big enough. He says the only time the strings are a masri is if they're puzzle. If the strings are puzzle and you plan to remove them and replace them with kosher strings. But if this is the way he wears a baby-sized arba kanfas, he wears it all week long like that. Maybe you can say it's a bracha levatola, you're not yotzei any mitzvah, okay. But to say that it's a nisa masri on the strings, he thinks it's not correct. So why did he think that version of the Mamrut Merk made more sense? That it's a nisa haitzor on the strings, because trelas makeva says halav, but the fellow wears all week long. He wears it tzitzis like that. He says a bracha all week long. He's not worried about bracha about tolam. So why should it be a masri? Anyway, that's the tshuva and then it's it. Regarding big dekuna, there never was a machlokes hatanoi. For the Tosefta would appear that everybody agrees that some of the big dekuna need trelas, not all of them. So there everyone agrees that trelas is mechem. So that's why the Radzina Rebbe was a big goyim, a big tamachokim. So he wrote Shlosha Sifri Atchel, he wrote three Svarim and Matchelas, now they pinned all three together. So he wrote a Sefer, he explains, we have to show the Rebbein Shlom that we're interested. We want to take the first step to show. we're preparing Tchelis to make, to pave the way, to make big tikkun, to bring karbonas. If we don't take the first step, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to help us. If we'll show him that we want to prepare for building a Beis HaMikdash, bring karbonas, then he'll help us. So he especially went, he heard there was a big aquarium in Italy, especially went, he lived in Poland. He traveled to Italy and went to the aquarium, and he decided which one is the chilazon and shayt, and he made chelas. And before, they had a factory in Radzin. And before the Second World War, there were tens of thousands of Jews, mostly Hasidim, not all Radzina Hasidim, but mostly Hasidim, who were wearing trelas, the Radzina trelas. The Nazis bombed the trelas factory. They destroyed it. They killed all the people who knew how they made the trelas. So after the war was over, the only one who knew what their whole formula was Rabbi Herzog. Because before he became chief rabbi, when he was younger, when he was single, so he went to university, and his doctoral dissertation was on trelas, and did a lot of research. So he corresponded, and he spoke to the people who ran the trelas factory in Radzin. So after the war, he was the only one who knew. He told them how the Rebbe made the trelas, but he thought that the whole thing was a mistake. He said that the Rebbe himself wrote when he was in Italy. The Gemara says that the dye of the trelis is indelible. Once it gets absorbed in the vegan, it doesn't come out. So the Radzina Rebbe decided which fish is the chilozen, and every time he would take some wool and have it absorb the dye, he would wait till it dried out, then he would wash it out, the whole dye would come out. It didn't hold, so how can it be that that's trelis? So he put an advertisement in the Italian newspapers. He needs assistance of a chemist who knows how to dye wool. So a goyish chemist, he's prepared to pay money. So a goyish chemist came and he said, what's the problem? So he said he wants to dye this color blue and he keeps on washing out. He needs a chemical that'll help it, that it shouldn't wash him. He said, no problem. So he gave him the chemical. Next day he gave him the chemical. He paid him money and goodbye. And that's how they made it. So the Rabbi Herzog pointed out that the goy fooled him, that the chemical that he gave him doesn't help hold the dye from the fish. The chemical was Prussian blue. It's a synthetic way of accomplishing the same color. It gives the same color as the trelis from the chilozen. But there's nothing there in Achai. He said the goyful. So after the war was over and the Radzina Hasidim they built a factory in Eretz Yisrael to make the trelis again. So they followed what Rabbi Herzog told them. Rabbi Herzog said the whole thing was a mistake, they shouldn't do it. That they didn't listen to him. How can it be? The Rebbe was fooled. So they continued to make their trelis like the Rebbe said. And now they came up with this new trelis, which is based on what Rabbi Herzog wrote, but it's not 100%. And the last five pages in Rabbi Herzog's book, they translated it into Hebrew. It was originally written in English. So in the last five pages, he backs out, and he comes out that it's a purple. It's not the color of the sky at all. It's a purple thing. So he backed out based on misinformation that he was given. So now that the people who make the trelis and so they follow the initial suggestion that Rav Herzog had in his book, but not the final suggestion. The final suggestion was based on a mistake, based on misinformation. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.